Governor Chris, let me begin by asking you about
Melissa, you can just call me Charlie. That's fine.
All right. Let me begin by asking you about the state GOP's efforts already aggressively underway to define you as unprincipled and a flip-flopper. In particular, they're going to argue to Florida voters that the fact that you switched parties is evidence that you don't have firm political principles. How will you try to win Republican votes into your column, along with convincing the state's Democrats that you share their values as you campaign for this office?
Well, simply by saying that, you know, in order for me to be true to myself and my core values of what I was taught by my father and mother, you know, Charlie and Nancy Crist, who raised my three sisters and I to try to do the right thing, to treat others well, to do unto others, to be compassionate, to be kind, and to be more than tolerant, actually to be welcoming of all. I had to. You know, the Republican Party leadership was on a path, and unfortunately I think it still is, where, you know, it's perceived at least as being anti-women, anti-minority, anti-immigrant, anti-public education. I mean, the list goes on and on, regrettably. And I think it's frustrating to a lot of people, including people like my mom and dad, who are still Republicans and believe that, you know, it should be a party that is more welcoming of others and more supportive of teachers, for example, than it currently is. And so my explanation is very clear. You know, I'm the same guy I always was. But as I said at the convention last September, I didn't leave the Republican Party. It left me. And so the only thing I could do to be true to myself was to become a Democrat. And I've done that. And I've never been more comfortable politically. So I'm in a good place. And I'm very happy to be there.
And it's 549-2937 to connect with Charlie Crist this morning. Let me ask you about some of the issues that your opponent will certainly be running on, in particular job growth. The state Republican Party is pointing out that unemployment has dropped in Florida since Rick Scott's election from 11% to just under 7% last month. They're going to argue that Governor Scott has created jobs and that his record is a positive one. How will you challenge that?
Well, I think the thing to do is just tell the truth. You know, we have an economy that is starting to do better, and we should all celebrate that. And I'm glad that it is. I'm glad that it is for the people of Florida. But frankly, I think it can be even better than it already is. And I think that we can be more innovative in our thinking about job growth, about, you know, improving not only tourism and the housing market in the Sunshine State, but doing other innovative things like alternative energy that will help clean our environment, promoting more solar energy and wind energy and things of that nature. I think those are the kinds of things that can bring new high-paying jobs by supporting our universities. We have so many great universities in Florida, an awful lot of them right there in Northeast Florida. And I think that, you know, whether it's Jacksonville University, University of North Florida, among others, and University of Florida, not too far away, you know, all of these institutions are great institutions of higher learning. I think we need to invest in them, which is investing in our children and investing in our future. And you have to have good schools. Unlike what Governor Scott did when he first got in, he cut education $1.3 billion the first session. And then the second session, Melissa, regrettably cut higher education, our universities, by about $300 million. You can't do that and really improve a job environment for our fellow Floridians and growing Floridians to have a better opportunity going forward.
Let me ask you as well about your relationship with President Obama. You've hired a number of former Obama campaign staffers to manage your campaign. You've also tapped Bill de Blasio of New York, his former campaign manager. Of course, he won election in New York as a progressive. The Republican Party is already running ads saying you're too close to the president, you're too close to his health care law, Obamacare, that the state's voters don't like either one, and that they will associate you with those policies. What about that line of attack from Governor Scott's office?
Well, my first response would be President Obama got reelected in Florida. He won Florida, not only in 2008, but he won it in 2012. So they're just wrong when they say that. I know it's been kind of a tough slog more recently, and you're talking about the rollout of the health care plan, the affordable health care plan. But in states, 14 states have their own exchanges where they implement the plan themselves, and they're doing very well, probably uppermost among them in Kentucky. And I think that if Florida would stop impeding with Governor Scott's leadership, trying to get a plan in place to get health care to people who need it the very most, we'd be a lot better off. It'd be a lot better for Florida consumers. It'd be a lot better for young people in the Sunshine State to be able to get policies that cover them. And I think that's the direction we need to do. Governors are supposed to implement. They're supposed to function well. They're supposed to work with others. And what we have seen out of the governor's office as it relates to this issue is constant impediment. That doesn't help people. Doesn't help anybody. We need to stop bickering, start working together for the people's betterment.
And we're speaking right now with former Florida governor and gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist as he seeks the state's Democratic nomination for governor. Lots of calls. Let's go to just a few of your calls right now at 549-2937. Vivian in Jacksonville is on the line. Hi, Vivian. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Governor Crist, when you were a Republican, I thought you did a great job, and no matter if you're Republican, Democrat, or Independent, I'm going to vote for you. I think you did a great job, and I know a few people that know you personally that I just like what you stand for. But I wanted to know, I understand there's a vote coming up about the medical marijuana coming up in the Congress, State Congress. Can you tell me how you feel about that?
About the medical marijuana initiative. Thanks for the question, Vivian.
Yeah, thank you, Vivian. Thanks for taking the time to call in. Yeah, I think this is an important issue, and the way I've seen it play out, it looks to me and feels as though this is an issue of compassion, where you have people that feel like that if there are people who are suffering in the state through pain or lack of appetite or what have you, and you have, you know, a real doctor who prescribes the medical marijuana for an individual who is suffering and in pain, then I don't know why you'd really be opposed to it. And so I'm not opposed to it. I think, you know, a compassionate person who really cares about others and follows the teaching of our Lord, then I think it's important that you keep an open mind. And this is something that I believe in the last poll, you'll correct me, Melissa, if I have this off, but I think 82% of our fellow Floridians support this, Vivian, and I'm with them. I support
it, too. You support legalizing medical marijuana?
Yeah, so long as it's in the context of you have a real doctor who prescribes this for medical purposes only, then I think it's fine.
Let's go to Bill along Heckscher Drive. Bill, you've been holding for quite a while. Are you still with us?
Yes, I really wanted a chance to speak to the governor. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Good, wonderful. My concern is special interest and lobbyist influence over the state house, and especially in the federal government. I'd like to know that my vote counts and that you're going to represent me. And I plan to vote for you, as a matter of fact. But what would you do to curb that? I think it's just almost like a literal takeover of government of late.
Well, I think we've seen that. And you know, I guess Melissa mentioned earlier about my opponent, Governor Scott, and the kind of money he's intending to raise and already has raised, frankly. I think it's about $25 million, which is just extraordinary. And you see some of those contributions and where they're coming from the healthcare industry where he used to work, you know, in the private sector, which has an interesting past in and of itself. But you got to stop that kind of thing. I mean, it's real people. We're asking people to give a dollar. You know, go to charliecrist.com, sign on our website, and give us just $1. You know, ours is a people campaign, and his is a special interest campaign.
Let me ask you,
as
a follow-up. Rick Scott expected to raise probably $100 million. Reports over the Thanksgiving weekend saying your campaign has passed the $1 million mark. But this is expected to be the most expensive political race in state history. You will have to raise many, many millions of dollars to compete in all the big television markets. How challenging do you anticipate that to be?
Well, I think it'll be quite challenging. There's no question about it. You know, I'm running against a multi-millionaire who spent $75 million or so of his own money to get elected in 2010. I mean, you know, when I thought about making this race, I thought about it for a long time. And, you know, the reason I got in is because I'm disappointed in what I see. it breaks my heart that we're not supporting education in the way that we need to. You know, it breaks my heart that the environment is not a priority. You know, in a state like Florida, such a beautiful place, you know, your wonderful St. John's River in northeast Florida and the coast out there, Jacks Beach, Ponte Vedra. I mean, you know, we have a beautiful place, but we need to protect her. We need to protect Florida. You know, we count on tourism. It's a business issue, you know, for Floridians. We got to have people continue to want to visit. Thank God they are, you know, to come to Disneyland, to Disney World, and to go to Universal, and to come to Northeast Florida and come to a Jaguars game. Congratulations on the win this weekend over Cleveland. And, you know, these are important things. And if we don't take care of Florida and our rivers and our streams, then we're not going to help our economy. We're going to hurt it. And you have to invest. And you have to be good stewards. And I think that's a very important issue going forward, and I've always been committed to it. I haven't changed at all.
Let's go out to Ponte Vedra. We've got a call from Donnie. Hi, Donnie. Thanks for calling the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, Charlie.
Good morning, Donnie. How you doing?
I'm good. The reason I called was I wanted to echo a sentiment you had a moment ago of how the Republican Party seems to have left me. I was a registered Republican my whole life, small business owner, pretty much agreed with every bit of the dogma of the Republican Party until I adopted several daughters. Now I have 14 daughters of various ages.
14?
Yes, yes. They're adopted from different
countries. God bless you, Donnie.
Well, thanks a lot. But anyway, the point was that as they got older, I got very concerned about them having a choice in their own life and their reproductive rights, and if they ended up maybe making a mistake and getting access to birth control pills or whatever, I didn't want that right taken away from them. And it seemed more and more that the Republican Party has taken the stance of denying women choices. And I'm not talking late term and all this kind of stuff. I mean just regular choices. So I actually ended up having to support Obama last election because I'm afraid that the Republicans are taking just a little bit of a too strong a stance on women's reproductive rights. And I want to send a message to those people out there that I feel right now that the Republican Party is a little bit too strong on that issue.
So you switched your vote on that single issue?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And it's a very important issue to women. And I think there's a lot more people out there that feel the way I do than will actually come out and say it.
But let me ask you, though, Donnie, you know, Governor Scott hasn't talked about that type of he hasn't delved into social issues too much in his campaign. It's been more about economic issues.
Well, the reason he's not going to bring it up is he doesn't want to alienate the extreme right of the Republican Party, which seems to be running things as far as what's on the agenda. If he talks too much about it, then perhaps he's going to alienate some voters. But I know that at least the Democratic Party and Mr. Chris has expressed a desire in keeping some of those options available.
Okay. And that's Donnie in Ponte Vedra. Donnie, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Charlie Crist.
Yeah, sure. Well, I agree with Donnie. You know, I was raised with three sisters and no brothers, and so that doesn't much compare with 14 daughters. I mean, God bless the man for what he's doing, but I'll tell you, it is an important issue. People do deserve to run their own lives and have that freedom of choice. I am personally pro-life, but I have never wanted to impose my will on others. I think that's a decision, you know, between a woman and her God or her preacher or rabbi and herself. And, you know, the notion that the Republican Party leadership, you know, led by Governor Scott, wants to make those kinds of decisions for women. I mean, the social issues are real important. Donnie makes a very significant point, I think. You know, I think we need to, on the economic side, we need to be frugal. We, you know, it's the people's money. We have to protect it and spend it very wisely and carefully. But at the same time, I think those kind of individual decisions on social issues, I mean, you know, a woman should have the right to make that decision. And I think that, you know, the government should not be telling people what to do in their personal lives.
Will you campaign?
And we shouldn't tell people.
Let me ask you, Governor Crist, will you campaign on these social issues? The state is very much a purple state. Social issues can motivate voters one way or the other. Will these figure into your campaign?
Well, I just talked about it for about 5 minutes. So apparently the answer is
yes.
I am. Because I think it's important. I do. And I, you know, government shouldn't tell people, you know, and women how to make these decisions. Government shouldn't tell people who to love or, frankly, who to marry. I mean, those are private decisions. And, you know, there's an old expression when we're kids growing up, hey, that's none of your business, man, you know. And it really isn't. I mean, you know, I believe in individual rights and individual freedom. And that's why what Donnie's point that he was making, I think, is so important. And I got to apologize, Melissa. I got to run. I'm in New York, and I've got a book that's coming out in February, and I've got to do a reading of the book to put it on, you know, for an audio.
What's the name of the book?
I'm going to have to run.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book, The Party's Over.
Well, Charlie Crist, we appreciate you joining the show. Thanks for calling
My
into
pleasure.
The program.
And of course, thank you.
Sure. And sorry we couldn't get to every call this morning. We'll have this podcast up on our website, however, later today.